Okay, I'll call this board meeting to order. First of all, thank you. I want to thank our guests for y'all coming to be with us tonight, support, and whatever the case may be. But thank y'all for showing up. So we're going to go ahead and get this meeting started. And if you will, I'll open us in a word of prayer. I know it's on the on our agendas. We have a guest, but for whatever reason, he may or may not be here. So I'll open us in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. God, we just thank you today for taking care of us, for blessing us. Father, thank you for bringing this school through some good times and some bad times, Father, and just helping us start a new school year, Father. And I just pray your blessings on this school year and on all of our teachers, administrators, everyone involved, Father, just to help make this a great year for our kids in all areas, God. And I pray for tonight that we would make good, wise choices in this in behalf of this district, and I just ask your blessing on that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, first on the agenda, we have time for any public comments or if anyone wants to address the board or say anything, we've got time allotted for that. I know we've got some on the list, but that doesn't obligate you to have to stand up and say anything, but if anyone would like to address the board at this time, that's where we're at.
I would like to say something. So okay. My issue is not with the rules or whatever it is. My concern was with how can we pass something that hasn't been passed yet, that hasn't been brought to the board. That was my question.
In regards to changes to policy,
yes,
that were posted before approval, correct? Yeah.
I can address it.
Okay,
yeah, go ahead. The changes that we made were actually in the two handbooks, the student handbook and the employee handbook. By the letter of the law, regulation is what those handbooks are for. Regulation really does not have to pass through the board. Is not policy that we're looking at. The only handbook in regards to that that really has to go through the board for a vote and approval is the student code of conduct. We do have that on the agenda tonight to do the student code of conduct, but because it was a non-legislative year, there really are no changes to the student code of conduct itself. That comes to us through TASB. The handbook itself, we do put it on here for approval. That's kind of a courtesy to the board itself to give them an opportunity to look at it, to go through some of those processes. The Region Center, a lot of schools in the state do that, but the Region Center told us, well, you probably should not take that stance because the handbook themselves are for regulation. That's for the administration within the campus to decide how they want to handle policy. Policy is decided by the board. Regulations are really handled by the administration within the campus. So whenever you look at timing of that process, the handbooks don't necessarily have to go through the board for that process other than courtesy to give the board an opportunity to review that, approve, like, dislike, have some communication in regards to that. Since it was my first year, I wanted the board to have an opportunity to look through those types of things. And that's what I told the Region Center. My stance was just to be transparent with the board as a new superintendent coming in. But by the letter of the law, that student code of conduct is the only one that really has to go through approval by the board.
I also had a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
If there was going to be a change because of dress code, why wasn't it across the board, not just towards our young lady? Like, if your stance was that they, which I don't understand how you could take this stance, but last year they didn't follow the dress code. So I think there was comments that they were dressing in crop tops, short shorts. So it wasn't just young girls not following the dress code. So why make a change just for that? I know that change was recanted, but why just towards the girls because there was dress code violations across the board.
Yeah, the only changes that we looked at making were in regards to the spandex. I won't speak as to how anything was handled last year, what was in place last year, how it was handled throughout that process. All I was looking at is within our administrative team, that we were looking for ways that we could manage any of the concerns that were there, and that was the concerns that were brought to us. And it was a management aspect of it, but it also makes it controllable. So we decided to go with that leggy wording. Based on the feedback, we decided we'll take an opportunity to rethink, reword that. So we looked at it from a different perspective, but overall it was just a management process for how this administrative team and the ladies and folks that are responsible in the hallways day in and day out to kind of manage how that looks and what was happening last year. And that was an approach we wanted to try to take. So
other changes that you are also making is like no snacks.
There was only, I don't know what the snack rule was last year. The only changes we've made is not in the classroom. And that's really because I believe we were having custodians being responsible for cleaning up messes and taking care of things that really we want them to go in. We want them to vacuum, dust, move on to that next classroom because we don't have a huge staff. It was more or less for the trash and the amount of time that it was taking our custodians to clean up in that process. Although there are some federal guidelines on snacks and when they can be put into classrooms and when they can be handled and that sort of thing. But I don't think verbiage-wise we've really changed anything other than how we're going to administrate it. I mean, we're going to keep those snacks out of the classrooms. Unless there's a special situation of, you know, parties, Easter party or Christmas party or some of those types of things where we can get permission and kind of manage that. So. Yes, sir?
I think part of the problem is that all these changes were made. Y'all have not been here very long. I think everybody expects changes. It's a new administration, completely new top to bottom. I don't think anybody is expecting it to be the same. But you had not spent a single day here with any of these kids in the class. You don't know what this school operates like. And then 4 or 5 days before school, we're getting a new schedule. I've got water bottles I can't use. We ordered all clear water bottles. Now I can use regular water bottles. So I got $300. I got a lot of kids. $300 worth of water bottles. I don't know. I think the problem is, like, we just feel like you come into this situation. It's a great school. I think everybody agrees with that. I don't think that there were huge changes that need to be made right off the bat. I definitely think you can make improvements. I think everybody expects changes. But when it feels like you're just, like, coming in here guns a-blazing, I think that is what people are frustrated with.
And I understand that concept, which it was, we were late in the game, basically because of the timelines of hires and when we got into place and had an opportunity to look at some of those types of things in depth. Really on a 74-page handbook, we did have two changes. It was the leggings and the water bottles. But, yeah, at the same time, we were not looking to do a complete overhaul of anything in regards to that. Timing was definitely a crunch time because we were trying to get things done in a quick manner. As I was only here for a month, Ms. Riga here for even less. But, yes, a couple of those things it's the timeline of what we had to work with, and anything like that will be done more timely next year because we'll have a little more opportunity to go through that process. But I agree with you 100%. It is not a situation of the kids and our expectations of those kids. From everything that we've seen, the students that were in the hallway in July, the kids that were working through that process, the kids that we've met right here, this is a great group of kids. It was not a discipline issue that we were concerned about, especially on the water bottle side. But it was brought to us last year that the SHAC, the Health Advisory Committee that does put together all that information for us, they were involved last year, and they were the ones that basically said no energy drinks. That was really the spearhead for us moving towards and going through that process. With whenever you got a kid bringing in a cup or bringing in anything that's not a clear container, it's difficult to see what's in there. We were just looking at trying to do what that self-health advisory committee had expected of us. Clear water bottles was a very simple way to manage that process through, but we also understand the timing of it and the cost aspect of it and the dynamics that go along with that. We were able to look at that wording a little bit more in depth. We'll leave it up to the teachers to kind of watch through that process for any container that's not clear, walking around the hallways and doing those types of things. But we can eliminate the messes and the trouble areas of that process just by, you know, not having lids that are going to spill or styrofoam cups coming in and things like that. So we just looked at the wording of it, how we can still enforce the energy drink side of things that health advisory committee wanted, but perhaps work with the water bottles that we were going to have. So.
Can you discuss the caffeine?
The caffeine? basically, that's still an energy type. I wasn't here when the advisory committee, and I know they're talking a lot about monster drinks and some of that type of stuff. But the caffeine itself is still, that is the energy in sodas and that type of thing. So rather than me myself just decide what does that health advisory committee want out of the hands of those students, monsters, Celsius, the things that are dynamic, that caffeine is still a part of that energy.
And so that's still related to the SHAT committee?
Yes, ma'am. It does not include the sodas?
Yes, no.
Okay.
I'm on
the
SHAT committee.
Yeah. So all I'm getting is the word from Mr. McLaren as we translated through that was a process. The sodas also come down to the colored drinks and the things that we don't want in the classrooms just for spill sake and cleanup sake and that type of thing.
I understand that, but I just look forward to that sometimes.
Yeah.
That was my only.
I understand.
So no to lunch, like if we bring no lunch, it needs to be water.
Yeah, just no sodas and things. Like the kids, we've got, I think there was milk and juice pouches and some of the typical things that come in a kid's lunchbox and things like that we can manage just inside there that are prepackaged that will avoid that process. Yes, ma'am. I'm not sure if we'll.
Not, because if you're looking just at the caffeine aspect, sugar does the same thing.
It does.
Milk has a ton of sugar. So, I mean, our kids are only getting breakfast and lunch, so they're going to crash. So, teachers are also going to have a hard time with kids not being able to pay attention. Snacks also kind of help with that. So, it's kind of like, I don't know, like a compromise should be reached on that. Because caffeine isn't the only kind of drive of like kids having that hyperactivity.
Yes, ma'am.
Caffeine and sugar.
I understand. I think right now we'll probably stick with the standpoint of how we've got it worded. I'm not to say we won't ever change anything like that if we see the need in there.
Can I ask one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Our Cougar Cubs, those kids fill out their drink list. Lists are brought to them, you know, the day of Cougar Cubs. Do we need to have them, the athletes, eliminate those? It's usually Powerades or sodas or whatever. Do they need to eliminate those off of their snack baskets?
When are they drinking them, I guess, is what
they're not drinking them at school, but they're just in their snack baskets.
Anything that they take with them outside this campus after an academic setting in our hallways and our classrooms, that's not our, yeah.
So that's okay if they're brought to them, just not
consumed. Yeah, I think if it was sealed up in a sealed container and it's just something that's in there and they take it home with them on the buses and share that at any point in time they want, yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I think a better job communicating. I think y'all started, but I think from the beginning it should have. Not everybody has Facebook in here, or not everybody just lives on Facebook. Sometimes don't pop up on my feed enough to know like what's going on. I think text or some other form of communication with the design.
Yeah, we're going to start utilizing that school messenger, that messenger app a little bit. I did not get started in that, dive into how to go through that process within the first couple of weeks. But I think now we've got it down a little bit. We've got the groups transferred over from Mr. McLaren to myself. So, yeah, we'll see a lot more of that. I do like that type of way to communicate. So, yes, sir.
Is that not something that the board could discuss as far as wanted to bring our kid a tea for lunch? Is that not in the classroom? Is that something that's just decided that's it, or is that something that could be up to consideration?
I think right now we're going to stick with the non-open top cups, sealable lids, and water. Yes, sir.
Is there a reason why, though?
It's manageable from an aspect of spills and what we've got going. I understand. I mean, that's just a point that right now we worked through a lot of that process last week. We still had an administrative team that we talked about that process of what's going on inside this campus and how we wanted to look at that and word it. And I think they put a lot of effort into constructing that in a way that is, well, good for kids, but the water aspect of things will be something we stick with. That is an administrative decision.
Anyone else anything?
There's a lot of involved parents here at Klondike, a lot. What do we do for our children? Like, we have, if there's a parent that's going to do for one, we don't only do for one, we do for the entire class. So it's a little hard for us to be told what we can and cannot bring our kids to school. Because when we bring one, we try to, like, I always try to involve the class. You know, whether it's bringing goodie bags, and those goodie bags is going to be great, you know, because that's what we do. We have a really good community. And I think just being told that, you know, for lunch we want to spoil our kids, but we can't spoil our kids, we can't really bring them what they want, it's kind of like a hard pill to swallow.
I understand. And I love the support of the community. I've been in Garden City where we have parents much like y'all throughout that process, and I think bringing that stuff to those kids is a great part of showing how that community is and that type of thing. But we're trying to limit that within the academic setting.
So as far as parties and things go, we can no longer do that. Snacks.
If there's a party, if y'all will go through the teachers can work through that process. We may not do every birthday party or every, I don't know how much that entails as far as what party goes, but when you start thinking about the celebrations that we'll have on the campus for events and holidays and things like that, we will have some concessions for that process, yes ma'am.
Through those parties and stuff, could have talked about amongst you guys to really hone in on the teachers to make the kids clean up after themselves. You know, if there is a bill, of course.
We'll have some of that process, yes, sir.
Just to kind of prove to you guys that the kids, that they can be
responsible.
They can be responsible. If pushed, obviously. But it can be a little bit more disciplined from the teacher to the child, which I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
Just to kind of work throughout the year to see how they operate. Listening to their teachers, or not listening to their teachers. I don't want every kid here. It's just something that you can look at to see if there's going to be a possibility that something could change.
Yes.
Just if they'll clean up after themselves through their teachers.
Yeah, we'll reassess on those types of things from year to year, and there will be opportunities and options. Yes, sir.
Kids are the type of kids that would not clean up after themselves.
No, they do. They clean up.
If they are still in the drain, they are cleaning up after themselves. They don't have to be told.
I understand.
So this is our second year here. Okay, we come from Andrews. We went to Andrews for 8 years. Today, this isn't like Andrews, Misa, Big Spring. I guess I'm just going to say this is more of a statement. I don't want to change. This is why we're here. And I think that's what everybody's scared of, is just too many changes and having to end up being like a big school rules.
No, I love the small town community. Like I said, I've grown up in Garden City, been there for 30 years. That is part of what the communities thrive on and do. So, yes, we're not here to make substantial changes. And the academics are incredibly strong. The things that definitely drive students to this campus, whether that be the athletic side, the academic side, those types of things. The teachers and staff that we have here are phenomenal. So those, yes, those types of things are in place, and we've not touched any of that type of process.
I have one more question about Kathleen. I'm completely bringing stuff for teachers. And, I mean, are they allowed to drink?
This has nothing to do with teachers. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Spoil our teachers all you'd like. Thank you.
Anybody else? While we're here.
Thank you all.
Okay, we'll move on to our administrative reports.
We'll let Ms. Regis start.
So with it being our first day of school, there's not really a whole lot to give you. And our pre-K, our enrollment was 9. In kinder, we had 20. First grade, 22. Second, 16. Third grade, 17. Fourth, 19. Fifth grade, 21. Sixth, 22. Seventh, 20. Eighth grade, 26. Ninth grade was 21. Tenth grade, 14. 11th, 15. And 12th grade, 17. So it gave us a total of 259 students. And I compared it to the attendance rate from last year, which was 270, so we were down by 11, which that should pick up because there were a couple out today that will be back tomorrow. And then I just have this for y'all to look through just to see what you guys want from me as far as administrative reports. This is an example of what I've done in the past. If it's what you like, I can continue that. It will just give you a rundown on our ADA, the attendance, like our campus climate and discipline, which I know discipline's not an issue, but it's also nice to see where it goes and where your trends are. And the academic focus and our instructional focus, what we're learning in the classrooms, what's going on, if there's any testing going on or benchmarks or interims. I like to put stuff like that in here so y'all know what's going on, and then how we're growing as a campus, and then celebrating the wins and staff too. So
like
if
that.
That's what y'all would like, I'll continue to do that.
Yes,
for you.
That sounds good. I like that.
Okay.
We've got on the agenda an opportunity for like the athletic director or the technology director, just as a part of our group here, to come in and report at any time they want to. Do y'all have anything at this point in time?
No, numbers are up athletic wise. I think we've got 32 girls currently playing volleyball, so I know that they're having a difficult time filling a 1A freshman schedule, but we've got 3 high school volleyball teams. We had 20 boys come out for high school football, lost one of them this morning. He moved, so we're at 19. But there's only 27 boys in our high school right now, so I feel like 19 of the 27 playing football is a pretty good chunk. But volleyball got started rock and rolling. Two scrimmages last week, and football had their first scrimmage this Thursday.
Good.
Okay. And we do have an AI policy. Harris may be able to answer some of those questions as we go. If y'all want to take one of those and just pass them around. These actually came to us over the course of Thursday, Friday, and today from the tax office and that sort of things. This is really just kind of prep for the August 24th meeting. None of this right here is critical for tonight, but I wanted you to have an opportunity to kind of look through, review that over the next couple of weeks and set the stage for our budget adoption meeting on the 24th. Before that 24th meeting, we will also have a public hearing in regards to the tax rate. We've got a gentleman that is a financial advisor. We visited with him over the last couple of days that would like to come and sit down and visit with you. I know the gentleman that we had back when we did the last bond has retired, so we'd like to kind of start looking at the opportunity to perhaps get someone like that on staff again. He does not charge for any of his services up until we actually do a bond or have a bond. And any successful bond, then he would have a fee that was associated with that. But he helps talk through the tax rates, how they apply, how we can take the best opportunity we have to keep our funds locally. So any of the tax dollars that we're sending back to the state, he can kind of explain through the process of how that looks. Janae and I sat down with him probably he was on the phone, but for 30 or 45 minutes as he explained through some opportunities that we might have to prepay the bond that we've got right now, because we've been told that you can't do that, but he talked about some ways that you can, and then take the funds, that those tax dollars, maximize them, turn them into other bonds for campus improvements. We're going to research TASB as far as facilities go, so that we can take a look at, have somebody come in professionally. TASB's free of charge as well, but they'll look at our academics, they'll look at our athletics, they'll look at our student body, they'll look at everything in regards to that and give us feedback on, you know, what areas we ought to be focused on and try to develop. So I think that type of information will be great. But the gentleman that will come and talk about those tax rates will talk a little bit about how that tax rate is broken down from our maximum or minimum compressed rate, which is the minimum amount we can charge, how those golden pennies and copper pennies can translate into our INS fund. His whole conversation was really about how we can maximize those tax dollars for the district and send back as little as possible. So he's willing to come and sit down pre-meeting next on the 24th and kind of just talk through that process with you. We're not looking at changing budgets or anything like that. I mean, what we've got in place with the Region Center is where we're locked in. But I think setting the tone for how that looks moving forward to maximize that money and not send as much back to the state was very entertaining. I mean, it was good information. We are going to go with Blue Cross Blue Shield. We talked about that for the teachers. Looked at the pricing in regards to that. Before our adoption of the budget next week or in 2 weeks, we'd like to also consider upping the amount that the teachers are getting. We've talked to the service center, and they feel like within the budget constraints that we've got right now, whereas we pay $500 to each teacher towards their insurance, they felt like we could push that up to the $600 range, which would cover the two lowest levels of Blue Cross Blue Shield coverage. We think that would help out a lot. So as long as that's something that, I mean, this is not, we're not voting on it, but if you think that's a direction that we want to try to move, we're going to have those conversations with the Region Center over the next couple of weeks, which will be great. We would like to also create some budget lines built into our current budget that starts focusing a little bit on the dual credit side of things. Right now, our dual credit fees through Howard College are paid for by the students. We feel like if we're going to equalize that type of, I think there's some, one, it benefits the district for those kids to get those dual credit hours. We want as many kids as possible doing that, but we also don't want it to be a limit on those kids of what they can afford just to be in dual credit. We feel like as a district, we ought to be covering the cost of some of those. Now then, is that, you know, the first 3 hours? Is that the first 9 hours? Some of the stipulations would be, you know, it has to be applicable to their high school transcript. So basically, it has, if you're taking an English class at the college and you're going to take that English class at the high school, then that ought to be something that we ought to look at as a district on whether or not we can cover those types of things. We'd like to move in that direction. CTE-wise, we've developed a little bit of a plan, which we'll have to talk to the teachers a little bit more about how that's looked. I think there were some questions today in regards to that. But within each one of those programs of study that we're looking at, of course, we've got ag, always have. Ag will be split up into animal science and ag mech tech, which is like the welding side of things. Through Mr. Evans, we're adding a technology side. We've already got in place the CNA that y'all had talked about with Ms. Brandt taking care of that through Howard College. We're also looking at a digital media type of side that would tie into our journalism process. With those types of programs, though, the state says that we ought to certify students. We want those students to come out of high school being prepared for work, being prepared for having something on their resumes, even if they're going to college, that they can use for part-time jobs and that sort of thing. So there is a certification that's tied to each one of those. With that is an expense to the district. So if they're gonna work through Mr. Evans and get a CompTIA certification, the district would pay that. But the state has also said if we're going to require kids or put it towards accountability, district accountability, to help the school district out for their A's and B ratings or financially, that they're going to reimburse the state for those. So this year, as a district, we would pay for those certifications. Anything up to two certifications that we submit at the end of this school year to the state, though, the state will reimburse. So after we absorb that cost this year, from year after year after year, we'll get money back from the state to help support and to continue to feed that kind of process. So we've talked to Janae. We're going to create those line items. We're going to kind of look at the expenses associated with those certifications, manage them this year with the long-term goal of we're going to get that money back from the state as we go through that type of process. So we're looking at those types of things budget-wise. They'll be built in. Our budget is sound, so we're in good shape with that. The Region Center had no problems with any of that type of process. So but some of the things that we're looking at, hopefully, getting set up and doing. We're also on those bills. When we review them here in a little bit, you'll see a substantial fee that's going for the lighting of the auditorium.
It'll be next month.
Okay,
but go ahead.
It will be on there so that when you do see it, don't be a surprise, but that is getting reimbursed to us 100% from a foundation out of LAMESA.
The Weaver Foundation.
Weaver Foundation. So overall cost of that whole plan is about $103,000. They need $75,000 of that up front, but it is all coming back through that Weaver Foundation. So, I mean, that's a pretty tremendous amount of money being donated there to help through
They've
that process.
They've always been really, really good
yes.
to
yeah.
us. They've
I was,
done a lot for this school.
I was going
to
print the check tomorrow for the deposit after tonight's meeting and getting that approval, but yes, it is 100% covered through the Weaver Foundation.
Awesome. Could you write a really nice thank you note?
Yes, we'll do that. They will very well.
Okay,
and probably in person, but we will get that definitely. We're also looking at, along with that budget stuff next week, just to make sure that on that tax side, some of the information that's in there, just to kind of start that explanation of what we've got, the INS rate tonight will be approved. It's all it is adopted. We've got an opportunity at two rates. The current rate is 0.5 0.24, I'm sorry, 0.0524. The minimum compressed rate that they can do on INS side that TEA says or the state says is like 0.276. So the, in order to pay back the bond currently that we've got in place and how it's set up, the Region Center had recommended we stay at that level of the 0.05. Any questions on that while we've got that process going before we get to the adoption of it in a little bit?
Number two is what they recommended, right?
Yes. That's okay. What they've got for us to go with.
Perfect.
Basically, no change.
Yeah, no change.
The numbers for students today, we were sitting at 256 enrollment. 259. Mm-hmm. 259 today. There's about six or eight students that were not on that list. A couple of them from, we know they're either coming in, weren't here during second period, those types of things for it. So overall, numbers maybe 266, which is like within two or three students of where we were last year. So transfer status and overall numbers is still looking good. Also on the calendar side of things, we do have Janae put a lot of time into lining that out completely. How they look basically came straight off of our student calendars. I think they sent that to you in there.
Yes.
It just shows 187 days for teachers, 202 days for management, administration type stuff, and then 260 days for any hourly wages and supports. But where those came from is basically taking our student counter, backing up front and back, adding some days within the holiday period, like our maintenance and some of those folks that still work over some of those holidays, and then also including the holidays that we have on there as a paid holiday. So it worked out well. Teachers, I think we're sitting at 184, so we'll have three professional development days that they'll earn during the summer, and I think that's a process that we've always done to just kind of justify where the daily rate for each of those contract employees come from. The TASA Midwinter, I don't know what y'all's interest is, but I'd kind of like to gauge what y'all think of that. That is the school board training that TASA puts on and where your interest might be. We can do our Team of Eight training through the Region Center. Right now, that is the plan of what we've got in place. But if there was an interest in participating in that TASA Midwinter, we probably need to start that planning process relatively soon to make sure, you know, rooms and can get people there and that type of stuff is set up. So just something to think about in the back of your minds. We're not deciding today.
When is it?
It will be in January. Exact dates.
No, that's close enough.
I probably didn't put them in there, but yeah, it's mid-January. So it is an opportunity, though, for pretty in-depth board training, all different types of aspects of it. The benefit of more people going is, I mean, there's going to be 200 sessions on whether that's finance or policy or you name it.
Where's it at?
San Antonio. So, but by sending a larger group of team gives you a chance to go out and kind of go through some of those areas of expertise and then bring that back. It's a good opportunity. But we can certainly do everything through that Region Center, and we'll continue to do that if we want. The TASA first-year superintendent process, I do plan on going through that. I've heard that multiple times from the Region Center. Highly recommended.
Bless you.
So we'll... I am planning on getting that set up and rolling through that process on my own. A lot of that will be what's covered at Midwinter, so myself, I will be, I think, in good shape in regards to that. So I think that's it.
Okay. So are we ready to move on to...
Yep, just the review and discussion items. Yep.
The review and discussion items. Okay.
So some of those I've kind of hit on, so we can
Do we have information on the bills or the minutes from previous?
They were built into the long process. All 200 or 300 or 400 pages. Yes, so because of all the attachments that came with it.
I can go print them if you would like.
And the minutes?
Yeah.
The minutes.
Well,
I've
got the minutes right here.
Yes.
I looked at the minutes.
And they look good, so I will make a motion to pass the minutes because I read all 279 pages.
Okay. We have a motion to pass the minutes.
Y'all,
I'm good.
All in favor? None opposed. That same process on the.
What date is that?
Items.
Yes. So, talked about the calendar days. There is a one-page student athletic contract that Coach D's put together. All the students and parents were going to sign that process. I put that in there just with the handbooks if you wanted an opportunity to just kind of view and see what that was. Did not get a lot of time on the appraisal document. Last week kind of got a base, but we will go through that process. We've got time. As far as that appraisal document goes, we will probably do a specific board meeting to go through that. Student transfers we covered. The meeting on the 24th will have a public hearing and budget adoption. So,
what time?
The public hearing will be at 6. Yes.
Okay, great.
And
we'll
meeting right after 6:30.
The adoption
perfect.
Is 6:30.
I do believe we have a vote.
Okay, is there any questions or discussion on any of these items, the review items, financial part or calendar part or anything? Okay.
Okay, we can go to that items tax rate. For the actual action items.
Okay. And our INS tax rates, that's...
we have the option at point... You have that number for the abstract.
I'll make the motion that we leave it the same.
Leave it the same as we had it last year. Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
That's what you recommend, Mr. Lowry?
Yes, in the Regent Center.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
We've got the motion and the second. All in favor of adopting the same previous tax rate? There's none opposed? And our notice of election?
Yes, we did put the notice of election out. The one I'm about to pass around is the order of election. It has to be signed by the board, and I'll send that to both Dawson County and Martin County in the morning to lock us in to, you know, they're running the election for us, so that will lock us into that process with them. We do have, in the front office, we'll have any applications for it. We can get y'all an application. Hopefully y'all looking at taking one of those and going through that process, but we will
when is the deadline on that?
17th
of August.
Yes.
Sign up before August 17th?
Yes, ma'am. But we do need to approve the order itself, so a motion, a second, and a vote.
I'll make the motion.
Kyle made the motion.
I'll second.
Cody seconded. All in favor? None opposed.
The next one, the grievance policy. Whenever we were working through the grievance last month, David Bacchus with the Underwood Law Firm made the recommendation that we should make a motion to go back to the original grievance policy. TEA, a while back, or I don't know, within the last year, had recommended all schools go to a grievance policy that basically gets attorneys involved from the get-go. He's the one that said that's financially irresponsible of a district to go that route. That is a state thought process. So they gave us an order, you know, of a process and what the rules were on it. But basically, we'd like to go back to the old one so that we can handle grievances, you know, within the campus, go through our regular grievance level process, eventually be involved with the board. I mean, that's the type of steps we would do anyways. But it doesn't require us to go hire the Underwood Law Firm, pay them a substantial amount of money to be involved in something that's not worthy of needing an attorney to do.
But at any a grievance at a certain level does require legal counsel.
Yes, or if the grieving party has an attorney. I mean, that type of stuff does not change.
But just not straight out the gate.
Yes.
Right.
So how is that? How am I going to word that?
Just
going
to word it. We would make a motion to do the grievance policy.
As we
revert back to our original grievance policy, and that's all it is.
Not requiring legal counsel.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
Who made the motion?
I'll make
Cody it. Made the motion. Went and seconded it. All in favor? None opposed. Kelly?
This way.
On the AI policy handbook, the state, I believe, required us to create an artificial intelligence handbook. Mr. Evans did that process for us, went through it, basically talking about how we can best utilize. I'll let you explain it because you'll do it a lot better than I will.
It's really kind of two double-edged. How do we help our students use it effectively, wisely, without academic dishonesty, as well as training our teachers on how to use it well to make them better teachers and assist them in the classroom, and try to mitigate any kind of problems or anything along those lines. And so we followed a guideline from the Texas Computer Education Association that helped us a lot in the drafting of that, and instituted a policy here on campus with our teachers where we have a red, yellow, blue light system as far as our assignments go. A red assignment is no AI is allowed at all. A yellow one is it can be used for brainstorming and things, and a green are more for fun assignments and creativity and things along those lines. That's how we implemented that with the kiddos. And it just kind of lines out, you know, the proper, what would constitute academic dishonesty and what teachers might be allowed to use in the classrooms is how that is laid out in that very large document.
Our teachers... It's at their discretion if they want to use it. Like, they don't have to use red light, green light, do they?
Okay, so if a student turns in something that is AI suspected and the teacher has not stated what the allowed policy is, the onus is on the teacher there.
Okay.
That's the problem there. Any kind of submission from a student where AI was used and they don't disclose that they used AI is academic dishonesty.
Got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Some questions, discussion on the AI handbook?
Yes, sir.
We need a motion and a second.
I'll make the motion.
Cody made that motion for the AI handbook. Kyle seconded it. All in favor?
Next would be to consider and approve the student handbook.
Yes, I've got a couple of questions for clarification. You already answered. I have to write stuff down so I don't forget. Okay. There were a couple places that said Dolores Cabos instead of Melissa Adams, but I forgot to notate the... So sorry. I should have... Yeah, okay. Are we only having one field trip a year, or is it at minimum one field trip?
At minimum.
Okay, cool.
I think they already have a couple.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was, like, hard... Okay, next one. On game days, some of these little biscuits, they wear cheer uniforms and they're tank tops. But they are, would that, like, they're usually like 2 to 3 fingers. Would that be considered an exception to the dress code on a game day? Or should they wear them to?
Anything that's considered a uniform.
Okay, that's
is
cool.
An exception to
okay,
dress.
Cool.
Yep.
Thinking through the 5 inches, which I think is really good and a very generous, because I was like trying to measure myself. I was also trying to think of how can I teach my daughters to be accountable and manage themselves. What about fingertip policy? So they check themselves before they wreck themselves.
That's
I don't
good.
Know.
That's a good start.
I don't know. Like, I was just trying to see, because I was trying to hold up a measurement to my, I don't know, I was just trying.
If your fingertips are going to be less than 5 inches.
I know. Okay. I was just trying to, I was like, what can I tell them? Because I don't want, as a mom, okay, so cool. If they go to gym at 7:30, do they need to get dressed for school, or do they walk straight to the gym in their gym clothes?
They can wear their gym.
Okay, I just didn't know if it'd be a, okay. I just was curious, not being a nitpicky, just curious. All right, thanks. I'm good with everything.
I'm going back to the bonus shoe and everything, back to the Cokes or whatever, Dr. Pepper, whatever they're going to have. No more. But to me, that's kind of a big deal that we had, like game day, parents bring their meals or McDonald's or whatever, and they bring a Coke. And I just think we need to do that as a...
We'll make some considerations at that point in time and rehash it at the end of the school year. So, yeah.
I mean, I just think that's kind of a special day. And game days, mom and dads bring drinks and food. They bring some of the kids get their pre-game meal, you know. And I just think it's a big deal.
Yeah,
I don't think we need to.
I don't know if our athletes need Cokes, but.
Well, but some of those other kids do. And, yeah. I mean, I just think that's something we don't need to. I don't want to call it the sacred cows that we don't want to step on, but I think we just, some of these changes, I don't know if we need to blast them all off.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I think for lunchtime, if parents want to bring their kids a Happy Meal with a Coke or Dr. Pepper, I think it should be totally okay, but that's my opinion.
I think as a board, we need to respect and support our administration. And if this is what they think we need to do, then I think we need to get behind them and support them.
Well, I don't. I'm not trying to be disrespectful or anything.
No, I understand.
It's been a long term thing. I mean, back as long as some of these boys are in school.
And after the fact, I did find out that they had tried clear water bottles at one point in time, and I don't know where that went or came from or did or didn't. But, we'll consider some things at the turn of the year and see where we can decide what works and doesn't work. So, I mean, I'm open to it. I'm not opposed to it.
I just hate to shoot down off everything.
Right now, I mean, the decisions that we've made on this through this process right here was, I think, highly supported within the walls of the school. And I understand that it's not always well received. It's not just me. I mean, I'll drink a Coke on occasion. But it was the way that I think the administration and the group of people that do this process within inside the building wanted to look at it. I'm not opposed to, I mean, I feel like we've opened a Pandora's box for the grievance policy, because, you know, the administrative process with inside the campus really should go through a process of, you know, if it starts in the classroom, it starts with the teacher. If it starts with this, you know, it needs to go through that process. I ought to be the third person in line to hear about it. By that time, I should have an idea of what the issues are and the facts of both sides, and then I want to be able to relay that to you as the board, that it comes from me. You know, that process is critical to how an administrative run, and that's the reason the state looks at it from that standpoint, too, of when that approval of or what's being approved. They're going to give us that student code of conduct through TASB, and they're going to make those processes. We touched on a few critical aspects, I think, of it, but overall, in a 75-page handbook, I mean, we really had two changes. I'm not opposed at some point in time to taking a look and going through this process again. We're definitely at a point right now in the school year where we need a handbook in place. We need to be able to go through that process administratively from the inside out. I hope at some point in time Like if the if we're getting messages to y'all, if y'all want to handle them all the time, by all means, open that door. But at some point in time, you've also got a message back. Have you visited with your campus? Have you talked to your teacher? If somebody comes to me with a complaint, my first response is going to be, have you talked to the teacher? You know, let's try to resolve it at that level. Have you gotten Ms. Riga involved? Let's try to resolve it at that that level, up through the chain of command and through that process. I don't want that Pandora box to be y'all's burden. I don't want decisions that I make within this campus to be y'all's burden. I want y'all to handle the financial side. What are your goals for this campus? The things that are long-term visions of how this campus and facility needs to look. How are those budgets going to be managed? How is that process going to take place, and what does that look like for you? The policies that the state are coming in and they give you options on. I want that to be your wheelhouse of things that you handle and manage. I do not want y'all to be the person that feels that type of I want it to come from us, and I want that to come through Ms. Riga. I want to know those problems from that point, and we fix them. We'll try to fix them at that point in time. So, just my two cents. But.
Respect that.
I move we accept the student handbook.
I'll second.
We've got a motion and a second to accept the handbook. So.
Who did the second?
Cody.
Justin and Cody.
All in favor? All opposed?
And just for clarification, this is something that we can consider. We don't have to wait a full year to reconsider this, right?
This one right now is the 26-27. If there are critical things that affect, students and engagement, and it comes from the state or comes from that type of stuff, we will definitely look at some things like that, yes.
Because when you're out, we do need one in place. It's,
right.
It's
yeah.
Go time.
Yeah.
Right now. So.
Same process for the staff handbook.
I'll make motion.
Kyle made motion to approve the staff handbook.
I'll second.
Cody second. All in favor? None opposed?
We have right now a septic tank that has collapsed at the top, I think due to flooding and age and processes. We had a couple of companies come out and look at that process. Gave us a few options to repair it. Whether or not we, like right now, they're on a shared system. It takes a 1,500-gallon tank to do that. That's what the law requires for them to put in. It can be done on two separate tanks. Either way that it do it, it's going to have fields that go out. We have one company that's willing to come in, not commit to having to dig up and replace the entire process for $20,000. They're going to come in and dig up that tank, reset us a 1,500-gallon tank, which is the capacity that's required for both of those facilities and houses, tie it all in, and as long as they don't run any issues with the tie-in, they're going to use the current drain fields that are in place, and that can be done for under $10,000. With the possibility, but if they cannot, they will dig it up, tear up the yard, hopefully maybe not unroot some trees, but go through a process to put that field out there correctly. But just because of we're minimum 8 to 10,000, potentially up to 2,000, but it is a septic system that we definitely have to go about and replace. So we'd like to move forward with the best option, which is I hope the company that, what's their name in
Rose
out of La Mesa, to come in and potentially fix the problem with the current setups and plumbing for a relatively reasonable price. But it may, once they get in, it may turn into 17 to 20.
Is that the right here in between the houses and the schools in the gym? Is that the one?
No, it's like where the where the storage buildings are.
Second row.
Okay.
There's a playground. It's the two houses on the east side of those.
I was going to say it shouldn't be that other.
They're relatively older. Yes, I mean we're talking probably 50 year old.
Working now.
Yeah.
I'm like.
So we need to get it done.
Well,
I can make the motion.
I second that quick.
Who made the motion? Cody made the motion. Jess seconded. All in favor of repairing the septic? There's none opposed. Kelly.
The last action item there is board book premiere. We would like to go ahead and move forward with getting into the 20th century on our agendas, minutes, postings, all of that good stuff. Once we get it in place, yes, there are options to track and do things electronically here. Not required by any means, but if it's something that suits your strengths, techniques, how you want to follow along through a board meeting, that sort of thing, that option will be there and be available. But as far as our in-house management, getting that to the posted regularly process of wording that keeps things legal and in line, how it's set up, put straight out to the community, those types of things, we would like to move forward with purchasing Board Book Premier, transition to that process over the next month or two, depending on how long it takes to get going, but hopefully by next month. And then go through that process.
How much is it?
The cost.
$2,000?
$1,800? Roughly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Helps us go
paperless?
Yes. Now, we can still print a few things and do, but yes, overall, it would have to go paperless.
But, like, we would bring our, we can put it on our, like, iPad, our own personal iPad. And
yeah. One of the benefits of doing it right now is I personally have just joined TASB. And with a new membership, it saves a $500 administrative fee for them to come in and do that process. They're waiving that fee. So we'll pay for the program. They'll come in and set it up for free. So it saves a little bit of money if I go ahead and move in now towards that process, too.
And I think you shared with me most districts are already moving in this direction if they haven't already.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
There were several at the training last week that said they had moved this direction.
Already.
Good.
The service center.
Lots of good things.
And there was nobody disappointed.
I have an email here that says save $1,000 before August 31st.
I think that's the setup fee.
Okay.
Yeah, I said $500, but it may have been $1,000.
Okay.
It was pretty substantial.
Yes, I can send this to you. You may already have it.
Yeah, I think I got
it. Okay.
Okay. Yes, so there are some cost savings to moving forward with that process now.
I'll make the motion.
Kyle made the motion.
I'll second it.
Justin second it. All in favor? None opposed.
The rest are consent agenda items. They can all be done with one motion instead of going through and doing all six or seven of these. Excuse me. At the same time, basically we have the student code of conduct. The reason that can be added in here is because there was no legislative year, so no updates or changes to that student code of conduct. That employee handbook we've already done up top is no longer part of that. The T-test and appraisal calendar for teachers. That's actually dictated to us. Can't do the first 2 weeks of school. Can't do days before holidays, after holidays, all of that sort of stuff. But Ms. Riga did put that T-test calendar together as well, just off of the guidelines from the state. The contracts with the Region Center, relatively expensive, but they handle a lot of those processes like teachers appraisals, the budgeting side of things, our policy side of things. They manage a whole lot of that for us just because of our size. But those contracts are pretty straightforward, locked in, although I did get an email to maybe update the DMAC. We'll see. We don't use DMAC, so I'm going to call her tomorrow and double check. But we can approve all of those contracts as an umbrella, same ones we paid for from year to year. But it is a pretty substantial cost. And then, of course, approving the minutes from last month, and y'all have already done that, too. So
any questions or discussion on any of these items?
It just takes a motion and a
second motion
to approve the consent.
Just make the motion.
Yep.
Quentin seconded. All in favor? None opposed. That approves all the consent items on number 7.
Yep. And there are no policy changes currently. So.
No policy changes. So. Anything else?
Thank you.
Well, you said on the insurance that's going to be the next meeting. Are we going to be able to do that then? Increase the contribution if that's something they choose to do.
That, yes, as long as they just wanted a feel for whether
I'm,
or not they
I'm all for it.
To
I have to do it right now.
We're
going we to
we're gonna put it in. Since it's not on here, it can be done right before the budget meeting. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, and so we'll do the tax rate, and we'll do those budget, all that adoption, including that $600 at that point in time.
Okay.
So, yes.
It's time to move forward on that. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you make the motion to adjourn? Quentin made the motion to adjourn.
Second.
Quentin did. Quentin did, yep.
I'll second it.
Cody seconded. All in favor? None opposed. This meeting is adjourned.
Take your name, please.
Yes, so that I can... And even, yeah.
No, but I do. As long as they've got the order, I've got the order.
And they pretty much stop, I think, by the fourth grade. But even when they didn't, like, oh, they had some skills. But I can get real scattered, so I have to make a list and write.
Oh, okay. See, I have to write it all.
Yeah.
Still need to sign, yes.
I do. Oh, I can stop this.